All right. Good to see everybody. Welcome. A little informal, sitting on the communion table. Sorry. Really grateful for everyone. Did someone lock the back door? Make sure that's unlocked, will you, Chris? Yeah. Cool. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming out. I really, really appreciate it. There was a part of me that was like inside really scared that there would be like three people here. And then I would have been like, oh, that's sad. But you're here, and I'm so grateful. We're going to try to keep this to an hour. So let me pray and get started, and we'll get going, okay? God, thank you so much for this community. Thank you so much for the history of this place and the ways you have led us and the ways you have provided and the ways you have protected and the ways that you have challenged us. And God, I just pray that you would continue to do that in this season where we are thinking very forward as far as where we're going as a church. Would you give us wisdom? And would you give us eyes to see, and would your spirit guide us? We pray this in your name. Amen. I just wanted to take a second and just remind us of why we're here. Some of you are like, I don't even know why I'm here. But I just wanted to share a couple things. What are we doing here? Well, we're here to talk about our church family. And we're also here to talk about like an enormous mystery. And the mystery is this curious line that Paul writes in Colossians. He talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is, it's a mystery. It's this idea that Christ is actually in us and forming us from within. And the crazy part about this is the verse right after it where he says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And a couple years ago, we talked about how this verse has just kind of set us on a path of saying there is a purpose for us. Like there is, it's more than just like intellectual, you know, belief, you know, it's, there's actually something happening. There's something that God wants us to do, wants to do in us. And then we also talked about that there's a process to that and that it's not an overnight thing. It's actually a lifelong journey. And then we talked about how there's actually something to contend with in light of becoming like Jesus. And that is sometimes internal, like things that we battle, and sometimes external, like things that we face that aren't in our control. And so I just wanted to encourage us, like this is part of what we are thinking about when we think about where we're going as a church. And our dream is to live as apprentices of Jesus, like being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And so when I think about the life of our church, it's wild to think about, like, for 8.5 years, we were a portable church, doing very portable things, very, I guess you could say we were almost like, it was precarious at any moment, like rent and this and that and where to meet and all that kind of stuff. We were a portable church. For 2 years, we were in homes. And the staff and I were herding everybody into homes to be together during that fun COVID time. And then for 3.5 years, we've been in a place we've called our home. But that has forced us to think about who we are, like really who we are. Like how are we rooted in what God wants us to do? And so 2 years ago, we got together as a staff and then as some leadership. And we're like, okay, what has to be true of us to be a like a full operational church? Like what actually has to happen? And we came up with 6 things. We have to be a church that's about discipleship, which we call our transformation posture. We have to be a church that's engaged in our community, which we call our outreach posture, which I don't like the word yet, but I'll talk about that down the road. We have to be a church that is serious about children and youth. We have to be a church that does our Sunday gathering like intentionally. We have to be a church that cares for finances well and stewards those well. And we have to have a church, we have to be a church that like operates its home well. And then we threw in the last, actually a couple months, we threw in like, we actually have to operate well as a church, and that takes administration and organization and all that. And so what we're doing now is the culmination of like a first kind of like conversation that we're having about who we want to be. And the question on the table is, what will get us there, right? What will get us there? And what do we need to do to make that happen? And so what I wanted to do is turn it over to Ben. Ben leads our leadership team. And he's got a lot of organizational brain matter, which is great. And so I'm going to turn it over to him, and he's just going to like kind of, well, I'll just turn it over to him.
Yeah, don't preface me.
I'm going to tell you what you're
going to
do.
real quick, raise your hand if you know who's on leadership team. Oh, that's a good number. Okay, awesome. Leadership team, real quick, stand up. Current leadership team. Woo! Oh, Terry's in. I was going to say also, okay, stay standing. Former leadership team. Now have to clap for Terry and Brandy. Well, no, stay standing. Future leadership team.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, see what I did there. Okay, you can sit down. I just wanted everyone to see the faces and know that like, honestly, my whole goal tonight is to make this ours. I sat on the stage on the floor because I'm not on this, like, not separate. I'm not paid to do this. I'm here because I want to try to do this together. So that's what I'm about. And so for this group, just so you know, the leadership team is essentially in charge of setting this direction. That's constitutionally, this is like what we are asked to do by the bylaws in our church is say, set the direction. And what that really means is trying to figure out, okay, how do we actually do all the words that Ryan says? Like that's the core of it. How do we set the direction? It's like, how do we actually do the words? And so it's actually a really hard question to answer when you get into it. It's really easy to come up with a bunch of ideas. It's very hard to actually do a bunch of things. And so that's where we're at right now. So this year, we've tried to get very detailed on what we're saying the direction is in the areas that Ryan has lined up. And as a part of that, we wanted to do tonight and gather your feedback on answering the question that I asked last week in the announcement, if you were there, which is, what should we be doing that we're not? If anyone's uncomfortable in saying that in front of people who are in charge of making that happen, let me just say that I probably agree with everything that's about to be said. So let her rip, guys. So that's question one. Let's see what that stirs in you. What should we be doing that they're not? What's that passionate thing that's like, oh my gosh, I just wish we would blank. So I want to hear that. Another question, if it helps, is if you ran the place, what would you do? It's a trick question, too, by the way.
Do we want people to use
that? I think if we just shout it out. So what I want to do is I'm going to start the conversation going, I'm going to capture the main ideas here. And all of these main ideas on the whiteboard, and I've got overflow if we need it, let's go. Let's get the overflow. We'll get the ideas on paper, and we want to make sure that these are captured and put into the lanes that Ryan kind of described to make sure we've got some key things to aim at as we try to build this place. So, who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll move the podium. Sorry, thank you.
How about adult education or Sunday school on Sunday?
Oh.
Why don't you say the things
okay.
Out loud then?
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Adult Sunday school. That's as big as I can write. This will fill up fast. What else?
I was perhaps some community servant outreach. I have sometimes I mean that belief there right now.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm geeking too much. Matthew, thank you. Community service outreach is the bucket. It means a lot of things. Community service / outreach, Matt? Outreach. Okay. What are a couple examples that are on your mind as you say that? Yeah. Yeah.
Something along those lines, right? So you can provide stability for young people that might not be in the best situation.
Yeah, so preschool daycare for a lower income, it's a big need. Totally. That's great. What else, guys? Get the idea.
Workshops, like finances, how to do finances.
Like it.
Parenting.
Skills workshops. That's great. I'm going to leave it at the high level for tonight, and we'll make men's. What does that mean? What do you want as a man, Ron?
I want to go camping. I want to do stuff with guys and book studies, do lots of camping things.
All right. I'm just going to throw women's on there because we should do that.
Go ahead. I don't know.
Too. Just. What'd you say?
Watercolor. Watercolor. Yeah. Watercolor. I mean, that's the women's outfit.
Would you like a men's watercolor class?
No. No.
Jaden, action item. Make it happen. All right, what else? What else?
I could add to that just saying, like, the men have a weekly thing and the women have, like, a monthly thing. Like, it would be great for everybody to have both kind of things.
Okay. So right now there's kind of a men's weekly cadence with the 10-man tables. There's a more of a monthly or longer cadence with the women's events. We'd like to want to do more. Oh, sure. Yeah.
One 10-man table, which has 6 people.
I guess maybe the Arvada one is not rolling at the moment. Anyways. Jaden.
Do you still want small action items?
It's going to get hard to capture all of this, but what I want to do, there's some obvious churchy answers to some of these things and how they flow. And so when I see men's ministries, women's ministries, I'm going to think watercoloring. And I like everything else, all the context is carried with. And so I'll make sure it gets captured. And we are recording this.
There's a couple people groups coming to mind for me that I would love to help out with. There's a lot of unhoused folks around Arvada, as well as I know we have a lot of minorities, especially ESL groups that might also be lower income and have a harder time.
Does this fit under this one, kind of? Let's do some overflow. It's already, yeah. Will you hang up a flip chart for me? This is a community church. Will you grab this and here. Hang this up.
Okay. Where?
Right overflow stuff. On that wall.
Okay.
Overflow sounds like superfluous. That is not the intent. Okay. Don't get the marker close to the wall, or Ruben's going to lose it.
Does it go through the neighbor?
No.
See, I knew. No, it doesn't. The paper is thick. Yeah,
water.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, let's maybe stay at the high level here, and then we'll capture some of the smaller stuff too. What other big picture things that? Yeah, Mandy, go.
I want sensitivity to spirit on Sunday morning.
Boom. Sensitivity to the spirit. I was going to ask clarifying questions on Sunday. What does that mean to you, Mandy?
I sometimes feel, personally, and like there's a collective feeling in the room where the spirit is very present among us. And then because programmatically we need to go a certain direction, we are jolted out of that. And there's no space for what could happen in that space.
As in, yeah, so there's a moment happening, the spirit is present, but our program keeps things rolling when perhaps it shouldn't, for example. Okay. Perhaps improvisation? That's a Terry trigger, sorry. What's that, sorry?
All of that. Yeah, improvisation,
flexibility, openness. Let's see. I'll start capturing overflow here since we're going to be out of room in like 3 seconds. Cool. Thanks for that. That's awesome. How you doing, Jaden? You just keep, that's not your idea sheet. I'm just kidding.
What kind of
thing
do you want?
Yeah, I have.
Actually, I think you did a great job of capturing things that were said before.
I'm just. Listen, this is how you make these things interactive. Matt.
I don't know how to say it, but maybe financial transparency is not like programmatic. Like a way to see what is going on without it having to be a special account.
Okay. It's awkward coming from you. Do you guys even hang out? Yeah. That's a good one. Jaden, did you capture some of the skills workshops idea by chance? Awesome. Ah, fantastic. Oh, what else? This is great.
Just to Matt's point, the financial transparency is talking about something that's more of a continuing basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that makes it, you don't have to wait for the next report.
Without, I don't know, scheduling. I'll just put for now. Okay. All right, financial. What's that? Yeah. Matthew.
All right, so.
Let's go. Oh man, I'm failing at that.
Some training to become literally a more pious person. And I think so maybe along the lines of faith walking, that was a really good article on that slide. Just helps you be better.
Yeah, so he's talking piety. Do you mind if I maybe rephrase for this sake to say like apprenticeship training?
I love it.
In our, okay. That's not how you spell apprentice. It is? There's two P's? Sweet. Go thalamus. That's lizard brain. What's that?
Can't spell transparency.
Doing my best. Yeah. Listen, I'm a big picture guy. Like, grammar is the last thing I think about. So that's why we're married. Yay. What else?
Engaging people groups and
just as a concept, like it's not just outreach, but it's inclusion. Is that kind of where you're going? I'm not necessarily looking for like do we need to do a marketing program? But it's like, what do we want to be about? And if that's that, if that's capturing what you're after, that's my goal here. Oh, I'm going to touch on that quite a bit in just a minute. So. Yeah. You're preaching to this choir. So I'm just going to put more music. Choir. Anyways, I'll leave it. What else? Norma.
Do you do international outreach?
Absolutely. Well, now let me, can you rephrase the question? Can we or should we? Should we? We should, right? That's what this is about. This is the shoulds. Why am I writing should? There's that thalamus. What else? Right, so to summarize, this is like us taking care of us, our like people in the community, making sure the needs are met, making sure, being together, deeper relationships. I wrote deeper relationships, no clicks, like really breaking down the barriers among us, getting to know each other better, walking with Jesus, trying to do that together, figuring out what that means, that kind of thing. Lynn. Of course you can. Yeah, so great. Yes. So we're talking about taking these deeper relationships that Brandon is talking about and expanding it to, I mean, really not Sunday mornings, coming outside of events that we're hosting, but getting into real communities outside of these four or however many walls. Yeah. Like actually maybe doing life together. People have said that before. Yeah. Yeah, gosh, there's so much here. Jaden, overflow, like in the deeper relationships. I don't know, like figuring out how to care for people well, and understanding what the needs are among us, being able to act on those things that aren't, you know, don't come to the potluck to act on them, kind of thing. Great. All right, I want to start winding down. I don't know your name. What's your name?
I'm Ryan.
Ryan, thank you for coming.
Great name.
Why? For the recording, the newcomer said newcomer onboarding. Thanks, Ryan. I know, totally. Did you want to expand on that before I rudely made fun of the situation? Yeah.
Like, who can I talk to? Like, where should I get, like, kind of like a resource thing, or is it like a
Right. Yeah.
Learning what the church is, like the vision, the goals, kind of like this, but on a smaller scale.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. This is a brave thing to come to for a, you know, one of those people. So thanks for coming, Ryan. I appreciate it. All right, one more. Yes, Lydia.
This might be kind of skills workshops, but not really.
Jaden's up.
Thank you for like safety training workshops, for example, a child abuse prevention thing that we could all take together, things like that.
That's great. So kind of safety, community training, for example, child abuse sensitivity training and action training, not just associated with children's or youth ministry and background check formality, but like a real training and sensitivity to that. So we all do this right. Okay. Yeah, that's a Jaden one. Okay. Thank you so much for this. I actually found myself writing the connection one. Oh, here we go. I'm getting a little teary-eyed. Because like I said before, or in the front end of this, we've thought about all of this so far. And so there's one thing that's encouraging, and then I'll step into the harder part. The encouraging thing is like you guys, like we're all on the same team and we're saying the same things and we're organizing ourselves in the way that what's coming out tonight is where we're walking, and that is so cool. It's gonna be fine. So okay, the next question I'm gonna spend like 3 minutes sitting on is okay. How do we do all that? Who does that? Oh, you guys went to the like Sunday school Jesus answer right away. Like we all do it. And you're not wrong, right? Does anyone have any other answers besides we all do it? Yeah.
Just like going through all of this, I just kept thinking about our small group and how much of that I feel from going through our small group.
That's really cool. Yeah. How else? Like, who does this work? Like, and maybe take the next step here. For us to be able to get to all of this list, what has to be true?
Participation.
I'm not going to write that down. I want to write, I already forgot it. Okay. So increased participation, individual commitment. What else? Bill.
I just think every week we get a newsletter that says we need help here, and nobody takes it off.
Mm-hmm. Roughly. Yep.
With that list, everybody's going to have to take on one duty, or we need to refine it to the half a dozen that can get done. Because to me, I love putting thoughts on a wall, but then what I really love is getting those thoughts done.
Oh, man, after my own heart.
So, as opposed to just shooting for the moon, which is sometimes cool, I think we just have to bring it down to what's manageable, and that people here, it's been said, are you willing to put in, are you willing to commit, are you willing to participate, are you willing to volunteer, or a lot of this will never get done.
How is the volume in the back on that statement? Okay.
75%.
So you're good? C is pass, C's get degrees. Come on. Brandon, you're going to say something serious?
I don't know if this goes past 3 minutes, but like in my network group, we do these contact spheres where you take 3 or 4 people and put them together in order to brainstorm and communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might take, I don't know, about 100, maybe 20 people to make that happen, but you put 3 or 4 people together to brainstorm.
Yep. Exactly right. Yep. Totally. Okay, so basically what Brandon said is you get some people together that are passionate about, you know, a given idea, get them thinking about it, and actually figure out how to take action. And I'm saying that all out again because that's essentially what the leadership team is doing on rinse and repeat. We are taking items like this and we're starting to walk them forward, create clarity, and create invitations for everybody to join in with that. We've been on this journey, like in earnest, we've been on this journey for a year and a half. And so what I want to close with here, and why I ask this question, is because for us to, dang, right as I look up at the screen, it says becoming who we are, and I was about to say exactly those words. Apparently, yeah, drank the Kool-Aid, I guess. but like that's for us to actually do that, it will take more of us. It will take more of us. And the whole the vision, and Ryan's going to share a little bit more about this here in a minute, but is so profound to me that we could be a church, and we'll continue to try to work towards being a church that is like a true community in a sense, where it's not a group of people who are paid to do it running everything, but a group of people that treat this as their community and are trying to better us, this group, the group that comes on Sundays and we are connected to in the world. And it's like, we won't be able to do more of this without more of this. And so what you can expect from us on the leadership team and from Ryan is we're down the road on creating the detail and how to do what needs to happen. So similar to things are on the page. We are then going to figure out what is the organization that can accomplish all this? What staff do we need? What volunteer teams do we need? And we try to walk that all the way through it. And then our goal is to come back to you in the fall with here's the moonshot, and here's the first step that we're taking. So that's where we're headed. Yeah, Gary. Let's go. Burning thoughts, ideas, motivational speeches. Go. Yeah, Terry.
I just wanted to throw out that the same way that the board and the paper filled up with ideas that was scattered from around the group here, there's the potential for any one of the folks in this room to say, this is really burning on my heart. I really, really would like to see this happen, and I'm willing to be a part of making it go. How do I do that? And I think that the door is wide open for that. The way we're going to get to all of this, in my mind, is not we're going to create a big checklist and we're going to try and work our way through and we're going to get everybody involved. It's going to be because the same way that the ideas came from you in this discussion time, the actual action to make one of these things happen will come from you in a similar fashion. So please, please pray. Say, God, I'm open. And then let God put something on your heart. And then take the first steps. And that's where you'll find Ben and the leadership team and others gathering around you to say, I think that's how it grows.
Thanks, Harry. Matthew.
Okay. So from a purely practical perspective, there's a lot of stuff on there. Where do you focus to get any of this action done, not just talk about it? And secondly, I think just casting the net out for, hey, we want to do this, please sign up, please volunteer to do it. I don't think we're going to get the kind of, we're going to get the same small set of people
yep.
that tend to volunteer for things like that.
Yep.
So Stephanie and I, have served for like a decade. I guarantee you wouldn't have done that. Ryan had just come up to us in the rest of the day. I think you guys would be good at this. Would you volunteer? And you're like, okay. And it was a massive blessing. But we would never have just signed up for it. I think
Yep. Yeah, thanks. All right, I have questions to the silence. Guys, thanks for all of the feedback. I am going to make sure this is captured. We are going to make sure that these are in our, I'm a product manager in my career, so I think in roadmap, so this is gonna be in our roadmap. But let me hand it back over to you.
Cool, you want your phone?
Sure.
Cool.
Good talk.
It was so great to hear all of that. I'll just tell you this, 3 years ago, the things you guys just said would have freaked me out. And here's why, because I was operating under, I've got to do all this to make people happy. Okay, so I've grown a lot. I felt no anxiety. We're all good. I wanted to let you know another thing. 14 years ago, almost to the day, was the day that we gathered a group of people under a picnic shelter in Broomfield. And I'm not proud of my pitch, but here was my pitch for starting a church. My pitch was, I like you, you like me, let's make a baby church. It was literally my pitch. I didn't know what I was doing. I just felt like we needed, like this was something that was next. And I can honestly tell you that 37-year-old Ryan at the time, and now 51-year-old Ryan as of this Saturday, is in a whole different spot on what I think the church should be. And so over the past 2 years, I just want to let you know, like the past year, I've met with some of you intentionally to ask you questions, get your feedback. I've met with some of you not intentionally, but I've still asked you covertly questions to get your feedback. And I've kind of pulled this all together. And you just need to know, like, I think about this church all the time. Like, I think about it, like, I have to turn my brain off sometimes because I'm thinking about us and where we're going and who we are. And it's no accident that we're in a series in 1 Peter called Becoming Who We Are. This was intentional because of what we're into right now. And so I shared I think it was last Sunday that I kind of wrote a manifesto. And I wrote about it because I wrote kind of like what all these different things that we want to do, these big buckets, what they mean. And so all the things that you said, my guess is if you listen closely, you're going to hear something attached to what you said. And so it's just gonna be, I don't know how long this is gonna take, but I'm gonna get through it. I've pared it down a lot, but I just wanna show you the board here, the screen. The transformation posture, like who we're becoming, discipleship, like how God is changing us, and our outreach posture. Like I said, I hate the word outreach because sometimes churches mean outreach is like, hey, like, let's do something to get people to come to church. That's not what I mean by outreach. What I mean by outreach is our posture towards our city, okay? So those two things are who we want to be. Everything else underneath this helps us do that. Does that make sense? So I'm going to go through these things kind of in a flow, and then And then we're going to do a quick Q&R at the end, and we'll be done, okay? So these two postures, transformation and outreach posture, are who we want to be. Our transformation posture, becoming a people who are being changed. We believe that salvation is not just a moment of decision. It's actually a lifetime of transformation. It's not a checkbox. It's a whole new way of living. What if we became a church not known for our size or our style or our polish, but for our depth? What if people stepped into our community and discovered something rare? People who are becoming who they already are in Christ. Less anxious, more generous, more whole. People who live differently because they've been changed and they are still changing. At Restoration, we want to give our lives to the slow, beautiful, Spirit-led work of becoming who we already are in Christ. This is what we call our transformation posture. It's how we orient our lives around Jesus, not just for ourselves, but for a world that is desperate to see what Jesus is really like. So at Restoration, the way we experience transformation is first through community. Like, Jesus gave us each other as siblings, like it or not, in a new family. And we don't grow alone. Transformation takes people, like real people. Not for convenience, but for covenant. We gather, we serve, and we stay. We transfer, and it takes time. That's why we're building a church where strangers, like connection, like where strangers become family and every person has a place to belong. We experience transformation with truth. Spiritual maturity and emotional health go hand in hand. So we're learning to tell the truth about who God is and who we are and about our stories. Because healing starts with honesty and freedom starts with light. We experience transformation with practice. Jesus didn't just preach. He practiced prayer and solitude and simplicity, and we're learning to live in his rhythm. Not out of guilt, but out of desire. Because formation doesn't happen by accident. And then we experience transformation by valuing, like, membership, like being like rooted together. We don't just attend a church, we become it. And by showing up for each other again and again, this is who we're becoming. A people rooted in community, grounded in truth, formed in practice, and marked by covenantal love. Let's talk about our outreach posture. What if we engage the needs of our city without it being a program we sign up for, but a posture we live with? And what if it wasn't just something a few people did on the side, but something we all owned as following Jesus? That's the kind of church we want to become. We believe God is already moving in our city, already loving, already healing, already restoring. And he's inviting us not to start everything from scratch, but to join with him in what he's already doing. So we'll build a church that lifts up what's already happening, and equips people to respond, celebrating every step of the kingdom moving, because when the church shows up, not as a brand, but as a body, our city takes notice. And here's what that looks like. Because it's not a program, it's a posture, everyone plays. Everyone participates. Outreach isn't staff-led, it's spirit-led. And this is for all of us. Wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we walk, we're not waiting to be recruited. We're already released. And we start by listening. God's already moving, like I said, in our city, in our people, in places we'd never expect. So before we act, we pay attention. We bless what God's already begun. And that's why we're going to try to build easy steps, like easy on-ramps for anyone to join, start, support, meaningful work that's already happening. No red tape, no confusion, just action that flows from clarity. And then when we see someone step out in risky faith, we start to believe that we could do it too. And so we'll tell those stories loud and often because every simple act of love points to greater hope. And a few times a year, we'll show up as one church serving side by side, not just to have an impact, but to become a people who live on mission every day. And we want to become a church that listens and moves and serves for the good of our city and the glory of Jesus. And let's join them. Sunday gathering. Imagine walking into this room, not just full of people, but a space that's alive with connection, where every person is helping someone else follow Jesus more closely. And that's the heartbeat of our Sunday gathering. We're not aiming for a show. We're cultivating a sacred space where you see Jesus in the welcome, in the worship, in the word, and even in the silence. It's not about a perfect polish. It's about a powerful presence. We want every gathering to feel like coming home by being a family that prays together, listens with expectancy, and comes to the table as a community shaped by grace. And because of that, We're committed to access, removing barriers so everyone can participate, from signage to sound, websites to seating. Everything should feel clear, simple, and inviting. And when we worship, it must be Christ-centered and participatory, not just music, but moments that stir hearts, help people meet God. We open scripture not just to teach, but to encounter the living word, to step into God's story and discover our place in it. And our teaching must go deeper than inspiration. It should be rooted in the scriptures, relevant to real life, and aimed at transformation. And prayer isn't just a transition. It's our lifeline. Every gathering should model our dependence on God. And at communion, we come to the table to remember grace, to receive Christ, and to be formed into his body. And it's not a ritual, it's a relationship. And through it all, we practice fellowship, not just sharing space, but sharing life, because no one should walk alone. This is the Sunday gathering we're building. A place of welcome, depth, and movement towards Jesus, every week a step deeper into the life of Christ together. Let's become this church. Children and youth, picture this with me, a church where kids and youth don't just attend, they belong. Where they aren't waiting to grow up before they matter, but already vital to the life we share. Where teenagers don't have to pretend or perform to be accepted because they're already seen and known and loved. This is the kind of church we're becoming. In our children and youth ministries, we're not babysitting, we're building something. We're forming young hearts to know Jesus. Not just stories about him, but how to walk with him. We're creating spaces where kids can ask big questions, where faith grows through wonder, where laughter is holy and relationships are deep. And here's the truth, we can't do it without you. Raising up the next generation takes all of us. Parents are not bystanders, they're partners. Volunteers aren't just filling slots, they're forming souls. And every single one of us has a part in modeling the kind of faith we hope our kids grow into. This is not childcare, it's kingdom legacy. And restoration, this is what it takes to do that. First, they need to know they're safe, loved, and they belong. From check-ins to classrooms to creating spaces where every child and student feels secure and seen. Second, we're helping them discover who Jesus is and who they are in him, not just facts, but faith that shapes how they live with courage and joy and integrity. Third, we're walking with parents, not replacing them. We're with clear communication and shared purpose. We equip families to disciple their kids all week long. Fourth, we're empowering volunteers, not just to serve, but to lead. With strong training, clear vision, and constant support, they're shaping lives that last. Fifth, we're becoming a church that says to the next generation, we're with you. Through prayer and presence and mentorship, we model faith that's real in every season. And lastly, we're making it joyful. Milestones matter. We want every kid to celebrate their growth in Christ, from first prayers to baptisms to participating in worship. This is the kind of thing we're building. This is what we want. Not babysitting, not keeping them in the background, but full participation in the life of Jesus right now. That's what we want. Let's talk about our facilities. This is creating sacred space for us. Let's talk about our building, not just as a project, but as a tool. At Restoration, we believe our facility isn't just where church happens. It is the church, lived out in brick and mortar, doors and hallways, smiles and signs. It's where sacred meets simple. It's where people come with questions and find welcome. Where kids run in safety, where worship is unhindered, where a warm hello and a clean hallway say you matter, God sees you, and you're not alone. This space speaks before we say a word. And we want every inch of it to whisper grace. That's why this matters, because our building is a tool for transformation. And here's what that looks like. It's a place of belonging and community. From the moment someone steps onto our property, we want them to feel that they belong and that our space should feel more like a home than a building. So welcoming, warm, made for connection. It's a place of safety and security. It's a place of hospitality and first impressions. Like, the little things matter, like clear signs and friendly faces and clean spaces. They all quietly say you're seen and you're valued and you're welcome. And we want spaces that are easy to navigate and intuitive to us, right? Like, so people can focus on what matters, and that's connecting with God and others. It's a place for worship and formation. Like, our rooms should help people meet God, like not flashy or loud, but warm and thoughtful and peaceful. Spaces that invite people to come as they are and draw near to Jesus. And it's a place of stewardship and care. This building is not ours, it is a gift. So we care for it with excellence, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors and our guests. And in this building, we want it to say something about who God is. And so let's build this space together. Let's talk about finances. And let's talk about money, not in the way the world does, but at Restoration, we believe that generosity is not just about keeping the lights on. We believe it's about keeping our hearts open. We believe giving forms us, that it's a spiritual practice, a bold declaration that says, I trust God to provide. It shapes our character, it grows our faith, and aligns us with the generosity of Jesus. And that's why finances are not just a church responsibility, they're a discipleship opportunity. And so because of this, we're committed to generosity as formation, meaning that giving isn't a duty, it is discipleship. And we'll teach that generosity is how we'll teach that generosity is how we become more like Jesus, open-handed, joyful, full of trust. And we want people to give out of love, not pressure. Giving should feel like worship, not like a bill. And we're committed to trust and transparency in our finances. Like, every gift matters. Every gift is cared for. Every dollar is stewarded with care. So we'll share updates, stay accountable, and keep everything open because trust is built with clarity. We're committed to sharing stories. We'll show where generosity leads, where helping people and launching ministries and serving neighborhoods, like, when people see the impact, their faith grows. And we're committed to teach financial wisdom. Like, money can be stressful. We will help people find peace with that, like through classes and conversations and tools. We'll equip our church to live free and give freely. We're committed to caring for one another. So when someone in our church is in need, we'll respond with compassion and practical help, because generosity starts at home with the family, you know, and that's us. We're committed to generosity beyond ourselves, meaning we want to be known in our city for outrageous generosity. Like, a church that gives time and resources and love, showing the world what God is like. And we're committed to easy and secure giving. Like, we're building systems that are simple, secure, and clear, so giving is never a barrier, it's only a blessing. And that generosity wouldn't support the generosity of our church wouldn't just support our church, but it would shape it. And so let's live like God is generous, so the world begins to believe that he is. And finally, this last one is business admin and operations. Sounds pretty exciting. And this may be the least visible area of a church, but it's one of the most vital. Because behind every baptism, every outreach event, every small group is often someone who sent an email, scheduled a room, or built a system that made it work. And at Restoration, we believe administration is spiritual. We believe operations can be worship. And we believe that excellence behind the scenes expands our capacity to love and serve people well. So here's the kind of culture we want to build. We're building clear and simple systems. We're creating processes that make things easier, not harder. So when people know where to go and what to do, they can serve with confidence, not confusion. Like, small things matter. We're quick follow-ups and accurate calendars and organized data. These build trust and show people they're cared for. We believe that stewardship is worship. So budgets and spreadsheets and schedules aren't just tasks. They're acts of faithfulness. and how we handle resources reflects how we honor God. And we believe that good infrastructure doesn't get in the way, it clears the way. Because when logistics run smoothly, people can focus on loving others and following the Spirit. And this means we plan with purpose. We're thinking long term. So strategic planning now means we're ready for what's next. Growing with strength, not stress. And we here's the thing. We believe that when we are well organized, then we're free to love boldly and serve powerfully. And that's the kind of church we want to build. And so what I want to do is, I just want to, like, this, it's overwhelming. Like, whatever you want to call this, manifesto, it makes me very excited, and it feels overwhelming, really overwhelming. And so I want to pray, and then I'm going to just open it up for Q&R if you have a question that has come up for you in that, and then we'll just kind of reiterate where we're going, okay? God, thank you so much for all of the feedback tonight and all the feedback over the last year. Thank you so much for a tremendously dedicated leadership team and staff team who are working volunteer hours and paid hours to love and serve this church. God, I think what you want to do in us and with us is overwhelming. And I think good vision should be overwhelming because it requires us to trust and it requires us to link arms and it requires us to get in and work together and work hard and trust each other. And so God, would you honor this time in the history of our church as we look to this next step, this next chapter for restoration. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I'll just throw out the question, like, do you have any questions from that? Is anything unclear? Does anything, like, I kept it really high level, but anything come up for you that you want to ask a question about?
At the risk of being ostracized, seems like the G word is the growth in people, mm-hmm. that it's almost verboten to speak about what are we doing to try to attract more people to come in here.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, oh, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been told or the implication.
Yeah.
But I think there was, okay, so there it is. So.
Yeah, you were correct.
I think, have we done it? It'd be pretty easy to kind of figure it out. Look at, do a survey and find out how people found this church.
Sure.
Figure out what's working. Because being kind of insular, I mean, all of this will probably lead to putting more people in here and being more effective. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, you know, we've got a hash, we're writing down how many mm-hmm. baptisms we've got.
Sure.
Score and all
right,
that stuff.
Right.
But there's ways to mm-hmm. to attract people that don't know we're here.
Sure.
The community around us.
Yeah.
Because I know in the past when we were, that's how we founded a church in the mm-hmm. past that we were involved in for over 12 years.
Right.
Somebody, we got a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird, you know.
Yep.
But it was.
Yeah.
See, that's
what I feel the tension you're feeling.
Oh, yeah. But I just wonder, is there any thought given to...
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to go out to marketing campaign.
Sure.
But...
Yeah.
It just seems like people don't want any more people here.
Oh, that's... I definitely wouldn't want that to be the posture. I am... This is a question for me. We talked about who would take which questions. This is a long conversation, but I will share what I feel. I think the best marketing of a church is people changing and transforming. And I have been a part of slick marketing church things in the past. And that worked great in the 80s and 90s and even the 2000s. And it still works to some degree. But I think that, anybody seen the movie Whiplash? So the attractional model church is not my tempo. It's not my tempo. And I am mostly concerned, I'd love anybody who walks in the doors to our church to be captivated by who we are as a community. But I think our best has changed life. And that God is transforming me. And if you're curious about that, I'd love to talk to you. Versus, hey, we've got a helicopter egg drop at Easter that's going to drop a whole bunch of eggs and we're going to send out some marketing campaigns, right? But listen, it was a hot thing for about three years. Like, helicopter companies were getting calls from churches all over the place because somebody did it somewhere. But that's a great question. It's a wrestle, right? And I think our website should speak who we are and be clear and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, we can talk about marketing and all that stuff. There's like a balance, right? Like who we are and who we're not. And yeah, great question. Really good. Because it is a wrestle. Any other questions? Yeah.
If there's something on the board that we're interested in getting involved in a meeting, how do we go about that? I guess the follow up would be,
right,
since we've been able to discuss before, how do we make it not just like, here are our ideas, leadership team, you take it, and in the fall, you come back.
Right.
Should we do something now?
Man, if there's something, I guess that's a great question, Ben. You're like the operate, like, oh, yeah, process.
I know the answer. You can stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I, well, so which one do you want to do? it was a great question, but it's also like, I actually want to highlight how you would do it. So what do you want to do? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm interested in some of the men's ministry stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Awesome. Okay, so in terms of people who are overseeing or driving the things on the screen, that would fall under the transformation posture, because we're looking about practice, community, truth, and men's ministry, and that would fall under Joanne. Where's Joanne? There she is. And so, I, you know, first conversation would probably be with Joanne. So now we can use that as a template. And so if you have ideas, like, you know, you can start with me, you can start with Ryan, but over the last 2 years, it's been trying to figure out how to not start with Ryan. And so talk to a leadership team or talk to a staff. We can point you in the right direction if you have other ideas.
Start with that Ryan, but not this Ryan.
That's perfect. That's how we... Yeah, email Norma at admin, and we'll get it to the right person fairly quickly.
Admin at
I don't know it.
RestorationColorado.org. We wanted the longest email possible. admin@RestorationColorado.org.
Yeah. Go team.
Yeah.
Oh, Norma went first. Except you, what were you going to say? You were going to say something else.
Yes.
We are aware that it's drastically inadequate.
Yes.
Thank you.
The website.
Anything else, Gene?
The website's being worked on. We're aware that it's desperately inadequate.
I mean, but part of this meeting is like you just painted a picture of where we're going and who we're becoming. I just want this group to know it's like this is the journey that we're on. We are not there yet in any one of these areas, and we're walking that forward faithfully. So. That's, yeah, I get tweaky about all the things that are woefully inadequate.
They keep me up at night.
Actually, Norma had a question, yeah.
Talking to different people here, I know that this is on everybody's hearts in certain ways.
That's great.
When you're gonna, like, if you said you're going to take it away as leadership and you're going to meet and then back in the fall, what does that all mean?
That's great. Great question. All right, so if you didn't hear the question, it's okay, so what are we actually going to do with all this? Where are we headed? What are we going to do? What was the takeaway for tonight? So first takeaway is really seeking your feedback. I wanted to see if we were, you know, moving in the right direction and get the smart and faithful people in this room to say the things and capture them and make sure and get all that in. So that was definitely one. As far as takeaway for this group, like my, and this is me as one of you, as us, as like, I hope that we can figure out how to walk this thing forward together. And what we haven't done, well, now it's not the royal we, but this we, what we're working on getting better at doing is defining what the needs are and inviting people into it. And so, like, it's easy to come up with an idea to something. It's tremendously difficult to operationalize it. And so we've been...
And sustain it.
That's triggering. There's so much... Churches burn people out. I mean, I'm sure there's people in the room that experience that. I hate it. I rail against that. I hate it so much. And so we're trying to literally, like, well, I guess it's figuratively walk this forward. And it's not a sprint. Like, we could go do a massive outreach campaign and go do a big service event. But then what? Right? And so what we're trying to do is build the systems and the teams and walk these things forward and move ownership this direction. And so that we can do this together. So the takeaway for tonight was really, it's to know what's coming and to know that we need more. I mean, Daron, to your question, it's the way I kind of phrase it right now is we are stable. We're in good shape. We are walking things forward. We're getting better at things. We are not sustainable yet. And to get to sustainable will require more, and just put things under the more list. It's going to require more people. And this is just real nuts and bolts. I'm not saying anything else, but it's real nuts and bolts. It's going to require more people. It's going to require more money. It's going to require more organization. It's going to require, and that's all for all the reasons that Ryan just said, is we want to love, be able to be capable as a group of loving people really well and bringing the kingdom. So I keep dancing around. The takeaway is, like, this is where we're trying to head, and we're going to get more specific about asking everybody how to do that and with invitations.
And we've been trying to really communicate better. Yeah. Like, what's happening? What am I feeling? What are we feeling? What are we sensing? And this is just a step on that. Yeah.
Everybody here can go home and ask God, how do I fit into this?
Right. Sure. Absolutely. Ryan, you said you had, yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
To care a lot about the church in an abstract sense as this thing out here, but that's really hard for me to care about. Mm-hmm. But as I get to know people here, that's what moves me. It's easy for me to reach out to someone that I had a conversation with, encourage someone that I know needs it, etc. And so I would just encourage people. I think a practical first step to sort of till the soil, if you will, to make this thing happen is a relationship. And so, you know, I just encourage y'all to ask someone to copy that you've been wanting to talk to but haven't. Yeah.
Let's make it the summer of coffee.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Or tea.
And I just want to, real quick, Ryan, I wanted to just tell you, I'm really thankful that you've made it through our really poor connection strategy. I really am. No, seriously, because when people ask me, like, what's the strategy to get connected around here? I say, I cross my fingers. Like, we don't have that yet, and we want that. And so the fact that you're in this room at this time actually tells me that, well, that was cool.
That's not the takeaway here.
But it's not sustainable. Like, to Ben's point, that's not sustainable. That's not the strategy we want to have. Like, and so I'm grateful you're here. I'm really thankful. Like, some of you got through our connection strategy that way, you know. So thank you for being here. Like, we're really working on that. So, yeah.
I just want to piggyback on
Mm-hmm. Like, and how are we going to step up or not step mm-hmm. up? And how are we going to relate mm-hmm. to one another? Because a church, I have to remind myself of this, a church is not going to meet all of these deep desires that we all have.
Right.
It will not.
Right.
And so we keep dreaming and we keep hoping and we keep thinking and moving forward, but it will not meet all of these desires.
Right. Is there one over here? Someone try to throw a hand up. Thought I saw something out of my periph. Right. Well, we've kept you guys here longer than we wanted. And it's your fault because you keep talking. So I just want to, I teared up sitting up here, hearing your responses, because what I'm hearing is you guys care about this place, about this family, and that will help me sleep better at night, thinking about you guys and being a part of this place. So we will have more updates for you as we go. We recorded this. We're not sure how great the recording is, not on Keelan's end, but on our end. I would be willing to make what I shared available to read if you want. I guess I don't know how we're going to do that yet, but I'll talk to Norma about like whether that's available. But thank you so much for coming. And if, like Terry said, go home, think about things, pray about things. If there's something that's just like stirring in you, pay attention to it, because it might really bring a lot of beauty to this community. All right? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'm sure the police department would love that. So, all right? Yeah, you want me to just pray? I already prayed, but I'll pray again. God, thanks for this night, and keep us cool. And God, I'm just thankful for this community in so many ways. I am amazed at who we've become from our picnic shelter dating experience to 14 years later and the road you've traveled us on. And God, we are just eagerly awaiting where you take us. We pray this in your name. Amen.